Good evening. It's July 7th, 2026. This is the sponsorship working with others meeting. And tonight we have Janine B. Thank you so much, Janine. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Chanel. And good evening, everyone. I'm grateful to be here with you tonight and grateful for the chance to talk about this part of our program. Sponsorship is so close to my heart. Not because, of course, I've mastered it, not by any means, but because it's one of the places I think where God's done the most work in me. And just to start, I'll just give you a little bit about how I came into OA. My first meeting was on February 1st of 2023. It was a very tiny Zoom meeting with maybe 6 or 8 people. I really didn't know what I was getting into because I'd never been in a 12-step program, but I just knew I couldn't keep living the way I was living. So within a very short time, one of the ladies there reached out to me and we talked a few times by phone, and there was really something about her story and her steadiness and her honesty that made me feel safe. So we decided to give sponsorship a try. She took me through the expanded version of the temporary sponsorship first 12 days workshop with a small group. We used the Where Do I Start pamphlet to figure out one of the 4 OA sample plans, food plans that make the most sense for me. And she asked me to plan my meals and send them to her first thing in the morning along with my action plan for the day. And then at night, I would send her my wrap-up of how everything went. You know, did I stay on my plan? Did I do everything on my action plan? Things like that. Now, the problem was I only did that when it was convenient for me. I had some early success with weight loss, you know, just because I was changing my habits so drastically, but I wasn't really consistent with the rest of the program. We started reading the big book, but I wasn't really working the steps. I wasn't calling her regularly. I was slipping with my food constantly, and I'd never actually become abstinent yet. So after a couple of months, like any good sponsor should, she loved me enough to tell me the truth. She said, "You don't seem willing to do the work, and unless you become abstinent and really focus on the 12 steps, you're going to keep struggling, and you're not going to recover." And she told me I was treating OA just like another diet and missing the entire point of the program. And of course she was right. So I told her, you know, I am willing. I want to get well. And so we decided together on a better food plan for me. So at that point I went ahead and put down the sugar, the sweeteners, the flour. And I also knew I had to be rigorously honest and I could lie to myself. So I told her I would send photos of my food at each meal to confirm I was really sticking to my plan. And that's what finally helped me find abstinence. Now, I did have one day of self-will run riot on Thanksgiving Day. I told her ahead of time that I was going to just eat in moderation that day instead of following my usual plan. And of course, that turned out to be a terrible joke on myself. So my abstinence was blown. So my new abstinence date then became November 24th, of 2023. So we kept working together through the steps. And then in January 2024, she told me I was ready to start sponsoring. I was terrified. It took me a long time to get brave enough to put available sponsor, you know, in the chat. So one morning I just prayed. I said, okay, help me do this. Send me the right person. And somebody responded. So she was brand new to OA. So I also, like I was given, I started her with the first 12 days material. I asked her to tell me her story so I could understand her relationship, her issues with food. We made her red light, yellow light, green light food list, just like we, you know, you go through all the process. We started reading the big book and working through the steps. And she made it all the way to step 8. And then one day she just disappeared. No texts, no calls, nothing. And I was devastated. I cried. I replayed every conversation in my mind, trying to figure out what I'd done wrong. What did I said that, you know, that offended her? Why did she leave? And I ran back to my sponsor and she reminded me of something that I had to learn. That it wasn't about me, because I can't control it. For whatever reason, she had made the decision to leave the program. And I learned right then, I can't make anyone recover. I can't make anyone work the program, and I certainly can't make anyone stay. So after a little while, I got brave again and put myself back out there, and I kept working my own program and slowly gained more experience. And today I have several sponsees. Some have completed their steps and they're sponsoring others, and we still meet weekly on Zoom, and they call me if they need anything. Others are in the process of working their steps, and each of them have their specific plans and programs through the what they need for their plan of eating, individual to what their issues are, I guess you'd say. And we still meet on Zoom once a week. I do have two others that attend OA meetings occasionally and still call me their sponsor, but they're basically inactive right now. But they still keep in touch occasionally, and so I'm just waiting patiently for them to get the willingness to return to their program. I still stay in touch and still talk with them if they have questions. But there's one more part of my sponsorship story that's really shaped me in ways I really didn't expect and really would have preferred not to go through, but it's not about me. So it was hard, and it taught me more about letting go. Last summer, my own sponsor relapsed. She told me she was willing, she probably needed to release me, but I couldn't imagine having to start completely over again with a new sponsor. We'd been together 3 years. I loved her. She was my confidant, my mentor, really my best friend. I know I was only one of several of her sponsees, but she was my only sponsor. So, it was a hard time for both of us. We'd walked through so much together. And even though we hit rough patches occasionally, we always found a way to work it out. So I told her I was willing to stay with her, and we kept going for a while longer, but something had changed. Her relapse had hit her pretty deeply. It affected her. So I could hear it in the way she talked. She would say things like, "I don't feel like I'm helping you," or "I think you need someone else," or "I feel like you should be sponsoring me." And she never said it harshly or mean or anything. She was very gentle, almost apologetic with it, but the message was there. I just didn't want to hear it. So, and by that time, my food plan had been through a lot of adjustments over the last couple of years because the health issues I was still dealing with, some of them were because of the foods I was eating, inflammation, recurring infections in my legs because I have lymphedema, and the weight that had been such a burden for so long. I was down 100 pounds, but I still had another 100 to go. So September 18th of 2025, I had made that final cut and put down everything, sugar, flour, all carbs. And it's been working. I was getting freedom I'd never had before, and I hadn't felt that good in years. But because of that shift, I found myself reaching out to another OA member who was following the same food plan whenever I had questions. And my sponsor and I weren't communicating as much, and that distance was growing. And so on New Year's Eve of this last year, it was just like God kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hello, are you listening? I have a new path for you." It was subtle, but definitely very clear. So that day I admitted to myself that it was time. It was time for a change. But I figured, it's going to be hard, but because I knew this other person's plate was full. And I hated to ask, but I thought, I'm never going to know unless I do ask. So I sent her a text that said, I know it's a lot, but would you happen to have any openings for a dedicated, low maintenance sponsee?" And she said yes. So I was very, very happy about that. It felt like God had opened a door that I'd been afraid to walk through. So now every day I send her my completed action plan and food plan from the day before, along with my nightly review. We talk almost every day. We meet once a week on Zoom. And that relationship is steady and spiritual and exactly what I need in this season of my recovery. So that experience taught me something I didn't want to learn, but that even in sponsorship, there are seasons. There are beginnings and endings. There are moments when God gently moves us forward, even when we really want to cling to what's too familiar and sometimes the most loving thing we can do for ourselves, for the person sponsoring us, or for our sponsees, is just to listen, let go, and trust that God's making room for something new. So when I sponsor today, I try to carry the same spirit my sponsors have given me. I maintain my abstinence so I can be present, because I can't give what I don't have, right? I try to be available in a real way, not just as somebody's, I'm not going to rescue them, but somebody that's just reliable. They can count on me. So I try to live in my recovery. Physically, I'm getting there. Emotionally, I'm getting there. And spiritually, I try to stay there because people can feel the difference between someone who talks about recovery and someone who's living their recovery. The way I sponsor is simple, but it's pretty consistent. I welcome my sponsees' daily calls and texts because that connection is where trust grows. Those calls are not interruptions to me. They're part of recovery for them and for me. That's the way we stay close enough to hear the truth underneath the other issues. And when they send me their food plan or they talk about their program work, I listen for their honesty, for their effort, for that spiritual movement underneath those compulsive behaviors. And as we talk, we always reflect on the steps, OA's tools, the spiritual principles, not in a preachy way. I don't just tell them, try to bang it into them, but in a way that helps them see how the program fits into real situations. This life, we have to live by the steps. So sometimes we discuss willingness. Sometimes we discuss surrender. Sometimes we discuss patience or humility or just having the courage to tell the truth. Everyone needs reassurance and encouragement. So that's what I try to offer. Spiritual principles that help them walk through life without having to turn back to the food. I share my own experience openly, the ups and the downs I've had, the growth, the gratitude. I don't hide anything. If I'm struggling, I say so. If I've learned something the hard way, I share it so they don't have to learn it the hard way. If I've had a breakthrough, I celebrate it. When I'm honest about my own program, it gives my sponsee permission to be honest about theirs. One of the most significant parts of sponsorship for me is noticing growth in someone else too. Whether they've had physical changes or you can see them reacting emotionally, in a more clear way, the spiritual awakening that comes. And sometimes they can't see it in themselves yet. So I tell them what I see. I tell them how they're changing and how their recovery is becoming visible. I believe we should make others feel valued. And I think part of that is helping them recognize their own progress. So, I encourage my sponsees to stay open and connected with me, but to also seek support from other OA members when needed. Recovery is a team effort. I mean, I'm just one person, one experience, maybe just one perspective. And OA is a fellowship. And sometimes the most loving thing I can do is to help them widen their circle. When we talk, I listen for red flags in their recovery, not to judge them, but to help them to stay awake spiritually. If I hear fear creeping in, or they're starting to isolate, or there's dishonesty there, or some resentment, we talk about it openly and honestly because those are the places where relapse begins. So I try to approach those conversations with compassion and encouragement, and I try to instill the belief that they can really walk through whatever they're facing. And there are moments when I can't be helpful, when my words aren't landing quite right, or maybe the person isn't ready or willing or able to take the next step. And that's when I just have to let go and let God handle it. Yeah, that's part of trusting God with the whole process, with someone else's recovery. And that's part of what we learn about humility, right? I can't, like I said earlier, I can't make anyone do anything. I can make suggestions, and it's up to them what they do with it. So one thing I also do, I celebrate recovery with my sponsee, the abstinent days that they have, the spiritual awakenings, the breakthroughs, the courage to face life without turning to their food, because recovery is hard work and it deserves to be celebrated. We have a message of hope and freedom, and I try to make sure my sponsee feels that hope in the way that I walk with them, and I hope they do. Of course, most importantly, I help them work through the 12 steps. That's the heart of sponsorship. The steps are the solution, the way we learn to live without compulsive eating. And I try to guide them through that process as simply and spiritually as I can. Sponsorship is a sacred relationship too, so trust is the foundation. So I do my best to protect their privacy, keep their confidence. That's part of the spiritual integrity of this program. Sponsorship, working with others isn't just helping me recover. It's taught me humility and patience
My goodness.
and compassion. Thank you. And the ability to trust God even with this. You know, I had to learn to trust him with my food, and this is just another thing to learn that trust in. And it's taught me that yes, the newcomer is the most important person in the room, not because they need us, but they do, but also because they remind us of who we used to be and who we're becoming. So I don't sponsor perfectly, but I do my best to sponsor spiritually, honestly, and with love. And I just trust God with the rest. And before I close, there's one more thing I would like to do anytime I speak. I like to return to the big book, because it is the heart of our program and the foundation of everything I try to practice. And there are several short passages I want to share that I keep close to my heart. And whenever I read this first one, it reminds me why sponsorship matters so much. It's the opening of chapter 7, Working with Others, that says, "Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking, or in our case, compulsive eating, as intensive work with other alcoholics or compulsive eaters. It works when other activities fail." This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics and compulsive eaters. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. You know you will not, we know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and each other is the bright spot of our lives. End quote. And I can tell you from my own experience, that is absolutely true. Working with others or sponsorship has brought meaning and connection and joy into my recovery. The second passage is from chapter 9, The Family Afterward, and it speaks to the spiritual grounding that sponsorship gives us. It talks about how our old dream world, which is that world where we tried to manage everything ourselves, gets replaced by a great sense of purpose and a growing awareness of God's power in our lives. It's on page 130. It says, "Those of us who have spent much time in the world of spiritual make-believe have eventually seen the childishness, can't say that word today, childishness of it. This dream world has been replaced by a great sense of purpose, accompanied by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives. We have come to believe he would like us to keep our heads in the clouds with him, but that our feet ought to be firmly planted on the earth. That is where our fellow travelers are, and that is where our work must be done. These are the realities for us. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness." End quote. That line moves me every time. I can just picture my head in the clouds with God and my feet on the ground with others, working with them, maintaining my spiritual condition through my conscious contact with God, and working with others keeps me grounded, keeps me connected, and it reminds me that spiritual experience and sane, happy usefulness belong together. And then the last one, chapter 7, Working with Others, on the bottom of page 99, it says, "Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God." And then the next paragraph says, "Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances." That is a wonderful miracle of this program. So sponsorship has shown me that every single person who crosses my path is part of my healing just as much as I'm part of theirs. The big book tells us that when we work with others, life will take on new meaning. And that's exactly what it's done for me. It's given me purpose on days when I felt lost. It's shown me that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. It is not about being perfect or having all the answers. It's not about carrying someone else's recovery. It's about showing up with love and walking beside someone until they can walk with God. It's about offering the same grace that was once offered to us. So as I close, I just want to say this from the deepest place in my heart. Sponsorship is not a burden. It is not an obligation or a chore. It is a privilege. Thank you for letting me share.